Hello and welcome into this week's episode of You Seem Interesting. I'm your host, Danny Rouye. Thank you so much, as always, for checking out the show. It is an honor to be beamed in waiting onto your cellular device for you to say, yeah, I'll play that. Very, very cool. We always appreciate it. Special thank you to our supporters on Patreon. You subscribers are the engine that drives this little train. You can check us out, Spotify, Apple Pods, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all that stuff, and hopefully coming soon to Amazon Prime. So my guest this week is Drew Talbert. He is a famous TikToker. That's the thing now. We say that. That's part of the verbiage. This is what the young kids are saying. He's just a dude, though, like me. He's not an attractive girl lip-syncing. He's not some crazy guy with spiked hair. He's just a guy that found something, is doing something that he really likes, used his improv background to create some really fun scenes that has really resonated with people. In just over 2 months, he's got himself just shy of 300,000 followers on this relatively new platform that's only been around in the U.S. for a couple years. Fascinating and really, really cool. So we talk to Drew here in a few moments. But first, as we usually do, it's time for the strangest gig in all of podcasts.
It is once again time for the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting. A moderately passable celebrity impression asking you for money.
Yo, Nicolas Cage here. I want you to go to patreon.com/funnydanny. It's a website. Give them some money. There are a number of tiers there. So get it done. That's what you're doing. 2, 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever. Thank you, Mr. Cage. That is very, very cool. TikTok, what's the deal? Old people like me, I'm old and awkward. I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal. I'm a Twitter guy. I can do some Instagram, even though I don't take pictures of my food. I don't care about pictures of your food. But the TikTok is massive. You either have to face that or you can pretend, just like me, with your head in the sand, that it's not going to stick around. And it may not. We'll get to that in a second. But here's the deal. So TikTok is a Chinese video sharing social networking service, and it's owned by a company called ByteDance, right? Beijing-based internet technology company, founded back in 2012. And it's basically lip sync videos, dancing, comedy, talent videos, short ones like 15 seconds, and looping videos from, you know, all the way down to 3 to up to 60 seconds, right? So it's a lot of lip syncing. You've seen people do it in some of the challenges and things that go around like wildfire, and there are famous TikTokers out there. And my guest this week, Drew Talbert, is, I guess you would say, one of those. TikTok was launched in 2017 for iOS and Android in most markets outside of mainland China. However, it only became available worldwide, including the US, after merging with a company called Musical.ly on August 2nd, 2018. They just passed their second year where they were available to be downloaded in the United States. As of August 2020, TikTok has surpassed 1 billion users worldwide in less than 4 years. In less than 4 years, as of May 2020, so there's even more now. I think there's closer to 40 million now, I believe, but most recent numbers I could find. As of May 2020, there are 30 million active users in the United States alone. And as of July 2018, TikTok users spend an average of 52 minutes per day on the app, and 9 out of 10 users claim that TikTok is used by them daily. It's obviously the younger generation that this has affected the most. 41% of its users are between the ages of 16 and 24. That's a huge percentage. Think about that. And that has gotten TikTok into some hot water here over the years with privacy concerns, with issues potentially dealing with kids being on the app and not having necessarily permission of their parents and agreeing to certain things. TikTok has gotten in some hot water. So privacy has been a big deal for TikTok, okay? TikTok lists, this is what they list. It collects usage information, IP addresses, a user's mobile carrier, unique device identifiers, keystroke patterns, and location data, among other data. That's what they tell you that they do. In January of 2020, Checkpoint Research discovered a security flaw in TikTok that would have allowed hackers to access user accounts using SMS. Right. In February, the Reddit CEO, Steve Huffman, criticized the app and he basically called it spyware. Okay. In May 2020, the Dutch Data Protection Authority announced an investigation into TikTok related to privacy protections for children. Right. The Wall Street Journal reported in August 2020, so very recently, that TikTok tracked Android user data. Android user data. You know, you go out a bunch of data on there. Anyway, TikTok tracked Android user data, according to the Wall Street Journal, including MAC addresses and a bunch of fancy terms that I don't quite understand. In November 2019, TikTok temporarily suspended the account of a 17-year-old African-American user named Feroza Aziz after she posted a video disguised as a makeup tutorial to draw attention to the internment camps of Muslim Uyghurs in Xinjiang, China. TikTok later apologized and claimed that her account was suspended as a result of human error, but it was very fishy, right? It's been reinstated since. They've also suspended some other users who have tried to draw attention to the current situation of the Uyghurs in China. So again, a little bit fishy there, right? The U.S. Army and the Navy have banned TikTok for active military folks. This is a quote. Check this out. The U.S. Army's decision to ban TikTok is yet another sign of the growing suspicion and mistrust U.S. authorities feel towards the Chinese-developed social media platform, said Ray Walsh, a data privacy advocate at ProPrivacy.com. Okay, so that's his take. He's looking at it from the outside in, right? No big deal? Listen to this quote. It is considered a cyber threat. Oh, you're not equivocating at all. That's from a military.com report that cited Army spokeswoman Lieutenant Colonel Robin Ochoa as saying, "We do not allow it on government phones." Period. End of story. So TikTok is fascinating because it's fun. I see why people like this. I see why kids really enjoy it. They're lip syncing. They get a lot of positive attention. Now, there's always the negative things of any kind of social media app. There's a bullying risk. There's an anonymity, and there's predators, and there's garbage folks out there that'll always try to take advantage of situations and things. But for the most part, it can be really fun. And Drew, my guest here, who will join us in a couple of minutes, is proof of that. So he's been in LA for a while. He's an actor. He was trained with the Groundlings, even teaches there now, and has a grounded, no pun intended, background in improv and developing characters. It's not always about the big, wild, giant voice on stage improv character. It can be really funny with subtle little tweaks. And Drew proves that. He gets through these scenes in a very funny way with distinct characters, but without being over the top. And it's really well done. And you can see how this guy has garnered such a following. So he basically runs a series of this fictional restaurant that he's kind of made up. And he's been a server for many years, as he kind of points out. And he basically goes through all the different elements of things that either servers have to deal with, front of house deals with, customers deal with, the whole nine yards at this sort of fictional restaurant. And I'm telling you, it resonates with a whole huge percentage of our community. Very, very funny stuff. Drew Talbot is my guest. Enjoy our conversation. Should be a fun one this week on You Seem Interesting. I am joined, and Drew, I got to figure out the right way to introduce you. Are you TikTok star? Drew Talbert, are you just regular guy who happens to be great on TikTok? Explain it. Yeah, what are you?
I even make my wife call me TikTok star Drew Talbert.
Rightfully so. It's amazing, dude. Over 280,000 followers on TikTok. It's incredible. What you've done, obviously, has struck a chord, and it's reaching people in a way that you probably never even planned. How did you get started doing that? How did you decide it's not just for teens lip syncing and doing choreographed dance. It's also for me.
Right. And I wish I could say I got on it to lip sync and dance with the teens, but I had my nose turned up to TikTok like a lot of people my age. I'm an old man. My wife downloaded at the beginning of quarantine, and I just started looking over her shoulder, and I would see like, oh, that was a funny sketch that person did. And these things are making me laugh. And then, oh, here's a cool like financial savings tip from this guru, here's Gary V pumping me up. And so I'm like, all right, I'll download it. And then I started messing around. I would just do like random funny ideas, and none of them were like really hitting. I had a couple of like mini hits. And then I did a waiter one because I've been a waiter for over two decades, and I had this idea for one based around a situation that happens in restaurants, and people loved it. It went I guess quote unquote viral. I thought to myself, oh, okay. If you guys like that, I've got a million more like that. So I just made the waiter thing my niche. and started making those, just focused on that.
So what's clear in watching them, and you've got them on your Instagram account as well, just at Drew Talbert, very simple, easy to find. And that's where I found most of the stuff, because I'm afraid of TikTok. I'm afraid of getting involved and then having the president say, we're banning it because of China. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
There's a cloud over it.
Yeah, so I've checked out all your stuff on Instagram. What's very clear is how good you are at characters. And do you feel like that comes from your groundlings training? Without doing like big, heavy, over-the-top stuff, you figure out a way to express the difference between characters. Love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the compliment, first of all. But yeah, it's Groundlings, if you don't know, is a improv and sketch school and theater in L.A. It's where Will Ferrell, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, you know, Phil Hartman, if you go back, Pat Morita from Karate Kid.
Boom.
They all went from through Groundlings. And I started taking classes there about 11 years ago and went through the training, started performing. Now I teach there. I actually teach there for the last 4 years, teaching online right now. And our focus is improv and sketch with a character focus. So we teach you how to create original characters that, yes, like you mentioned, hopefully are grounded and believable, even if they're, you know, a little extra. So I had that going, and I had a bag full of wigs from my training there. Yeah. So I had the wigs and the character, you know, training, and I'm quarantined, so I can't bring my actor friends in. You know, I can't play off them. So I'm like, well, I'll play the customer and the waiter.
Always had so much respect as a stand-up comic. I dabbled in improv because it was fun. It was like a vacation from my own jokes. But I always find it so hard. And again, so much respect for you guys who could do who'd be willing to share on stage. I'm bad at that. Uh-huh. I'm bad at giving. Is it my turn again to speak and do the big punchline? And the ability to
give me six sessions with you, man. I could turn your world upside down.
I believe it, dude. But like the ability to be a character without an exact impression or something that's huge, and having it resonate the way that it does. Because I don't think people would respond in the way that they have if this was just like, I don't know, some over the top crazy thing, but because you say it's grounded, but also turned up a little bit. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, grounded, turned up. So that's the secret. You know, that's like the hard target to hit, I find, because as I teach and I encounter more and more students, the ones that are successful at our style are able to hit this little sweet spot where their characters are memorable and big, but still relatable and believable and grounded. And the best example is like some of the ones I've already mentioned. The reason I took classes there is I went to a show on a Friday night 11 years ago and saw a show, and Melissa McCarthy was in the cast. My God, I fell out of my seat. No one knew she was. I think she was on Gilmore Girls at the time, but she was not Melissa McCarthy yet. And I'll never forget her, and her characters were huge, like ridiculous, but never felt fake, never felt like she was just playing out to us. It felt like she was in the moment. And I tell my students the secret to that is just like with any good acting note, it's all about how they relate to other people in the scene. You have to turn your character's point of view into a want from the other person or something you want to give the other person. If you're just showing the audience a character, it'll feel not, you know, gross and fake.
And that's always the response I would get. It's gross and fake, and you could see it on their faces. So Drew, as you're doing these, like, what's the end game? Right. I don't mean to get in your pockets or your business, but like, I hope you're making money off of this. I hope like there's something that's helped change your life for the better for all the TikTok data pixels that you're beaming to people's phones or whatever. Like, it's amazing what you've done. Has it helped you at all?
Well, hopefully, I know you had the ushers start passing the hat at the beginning of this show.
Right.
So hopefully that's going well. No, so this is new. First of all, I downloaded this thing like 3.5 months ago.
Yeah.
And well, maybe a little more than that now, it's piling up, but most of the growth has been 3 months, 3 months since like the first viral video. So it's brand new. About a week ago, I signed with an agent that's going to like connect me with brands and that kind of thing. And there's been, people have been pitching me sponsorship stuff like through emails and connecting that way. And there's been a lot of exciting stuff, but it's all like brand new. So I I've made a little bit, but it's nothing to life-changing money at this point. The other thing is TikTok, because of the cloud hanging over it, mm-hmm. and because early on it was nine-year-olds lip-syncing and dancing, and brands learned that they could just say, call up this like 14-year-old and say, hey, we'll give you $50 if you, you know, show our water bottle on screen. And so it's really undervalued. The value is still with the more established things like Instagram and whatever. So TikTok is a little zany right now as far as like value. So the end game you talked about is just for me, keep growing it. I see myself as not a TikToker. I see myself as a content creator and a comedian and an actor. And so for me, it's about just getting more and more people exposed and hopefully that connect with me and I can just keep growing the fundamental thing underneath it, which is just my brand of funny and hopefully keep connecting with people.
Yeah. Cause once you get that attention, there people will always come and say, okay, what do you have? What now? What? And if you're not prepared for that, that can always be an awkward spot. But it's a great way to put it as you did.
Yeah, I got a good benefit place. Of struggling as long as I'm in my early 40s and I've been at this in LA trying for years and years, had some little successes here and there, but you know, over that time, I've, you know, written a couple of pilots. I've, you know, had all these ideas. So if someone did come to me, I would be prepared to say, well, I have this idea. I think I, you know, so that's the nice part about the struggle.
So I wanted you to speak to that. We've got a good mutual friend who I know from growing up, and he went out there to do that, and he's incredibly handsome and he's really talented, but so are a billion other dudes, you know, that like have 4% body fat and great eyebrows, you know, that they make a lot of that, like sort of its standard issue at that point. I'd love for you to go into that struggle and being able to keep at it for as long as you have. And it's just so funny that here's the success point, right? It's this kind of app that we all kind of roll our eyes at, but it really is a reward for a while spent chopping wood.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And Mike Dirksen does have some fantastic eyebrows.
He's so handsome.
I wouldn't put myself in his category. I never was on a soap opera or whatever, but, I'm a little more of the goofy. I'm kind of like an everyman looking guy, I guess you could say. But the struggle is like, it's not chopping wood and trying and getting comfortable with failure. I had a manager who signed me early on who kind of worked with me while he noticed some talent, but he said early on, he goes, you need therapy, dude.
Great to hear from management. Like, that's awesome.
At the time I was like, what? And then I started thinking about it and then as the years went by, you know what? He was absolutely right. And I've learned there's a part of becoming successful as an actor, any kind of vulnerable, like even a comedian, I would guess, a stand-up comedian or anything, you have to battle yourself. You have to battle your demons. You have to battle. There's a lot of internal stuff you have to go through before you. For me, it was some confidence issues. It was some stuff from my past and like had to work through. I had some dark years there. To get really personal, I've been clean and sober for 5.5 years.
Oh, it's awesome, man. And congrats. Yeah,
thank you. And so there was that era. And so for me, it was getting better at my craft, you know, taking classes, acting classes, writing more and more, getting better at that. Starting to understand character. Teaching helped me understand what I'd been taught in a better way. But a lot of it was, quite frankly, kind of like becoming a better version of myself. This is sort of sound like a real, you know, self-improvement course kind of thing, but there's a lot of that to it.
No, I buy it, man. I mean, and you're right that we're competing in this strange world. Salmon are swimming upstream. We're all kind of doing the same thing. So there's a brotherhood and kind of you commiserate there. But at the end of the day, you're left with your own stuff. And competition is really just something that can sometimes bring out challenges for us, you know, kind of as you're making this space or trying to make your way in this really challenging space. So the totally unrelated to my question. I just decided to talk for a second there. It's my bad. But here's the question. So one of the things that is really tough is you are now known in, I guess, in some way for these characters, for this sort of waiter shtick, for lack of a better way to put it. I don't mean to diminish, but that's what it is, right? Is it now like one of those bands that has a whole catalog? And I know you know us for this one hit song, but now here's some originals. Is it the type of thing where you worry that you get sort of stuck as this is the only thing now?
Well, I have two thoughts there. One is, if I get stuck as like the performer waiter, that's a hell of a lot better than getting stuck as an actual waiter for the rest of my life. I will take the costume apron over the real apron every day. And then the other part of that is, I feel like I do want to start showing that I want to make the fundamental part of what I do, my ability to do characters, almost more than ability to do just restaurant material. So it's like, yeah, I do characters in the restaurant. Maybe I sneak in a character thing that takes place at an auto body store or something, right. Or something. And then it's like, oh yeah, this guy just does characters in relatable ways that are like at the grocery store, things we've all encountered different places. And then I feel confident that I could showcase, you know, that. Because like you said at the beginning of this whole thing, it's the characters, I think, that you know, resonate.
Who are some of your comedy heroes?
Will Ferrell's one. Nobody makes me just consistently laugh and kind of be in awe at the same time, you know. And he did go through the same program, so I kind of see some of the same, like, his... We push emotion, you know, as a way to escalate and kind of heighten scenes and stuff. And he, you know, everything he does these very emotional characters. But he's just so damn funny. And his commitment. I heard that, like, there'll be random things. I was listening to some podcast and it took me somewhere. And he just showed up as a guest, almost unannounced, I think, at the Hollywood Bowl or something, or one of those outdoor theaters in LA. Came on stage as Ron Burgundy and just stayed in character for like 20 minutes and just riffed, and like people were crying, and it was just his commitment. I think, I don't know, he's just one of them. He's probably the one.
It's, yeah, the commitment level is unparalleled for him. Let's go into this. And, you know, this happens, I would say, more to stand-up comics in general, where you get the kind of the interloper into a comedy club. Back, remember comedy clubs where we could actually go inside buildings? But you know, then the court reporter, like, he just said this, and out of context it sounds like a terrible quote, right? But in the context of jokes and telling it like that, what's your view generally on sort of the censorship of comics? And then the other side of that coin would be comics hiding behind people out to get them, and I put that kind of in quotes when it comes to restrictions, right? Because improv to me is about being completely unrestrictive and giving, and yet those kind of things, well, it would work an opposite to that. I'd love your thoughts there.
Well, we're definitely at a point now where we're all having to look at things like this, because in improv, it's really tricky. And as a teacher at a very established school, I have to be very heightenedly aware, even in class, you know, not just as I perform too, but we have a diverse student body, and it gets more diverse as we go. Groundlings actually was called out recently for its lack of diversity in its main company. And they've set up a diversity scholarship program and trying to make it feel more diverse there. Improv is interesting because we push them all day to not judge their choices, to go with their instinct, to not, you know, overthink, to just speak off the top of your head. That's what improv is. And then how do you balance that when you're watching two students perform and off the top of their head comes something that's inflammatory or could be offensive to a part of the students in the class and maybe not others? And then if you don't call it out, there's someone that could be offended, and then that's an issue. And so it's really tricky. I can't speak for the stand-up world, but for improv, it's tricky. I've decided to just embrace it, though. And like, at the end of the day, the more people's voices are heard in comedy, the more interesting it gets to me. So I'm kind of excited about it. I just think I'm in the middle of a time where there's, you know, we're all being stretched and pushed in different ways to like challenge ourselves and how we see comedy. But that's the improv side of it.
No, I think it's well put. I mean, and so for example, let's say I didn't like one of your videos. That's where it would end for me. But for a lot of folks, it can't end there. And now because of the power of social media and connectivity, the same thing that allows a Drew Talbert to reach hundreds of thousands of people, now they can reach you as well. It's a two-way street. And so I'd love for you to speak to that. Has there been something that you've done that you would never have thought in a million years was in any way bothersome to anybody? And you got negative reaction to it.
Yeah, the only negative thing is this. One interesting thing is I play all the characters, so they're all going to be my race.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like I've had people go, "Oh, you should do like when this ethnic group comes." I'm like, "Absolutely not.
No, thanks.
are you out of your mind?
No, mom, I won't do that."
Yeah, so I kind of, by nature of how I've been doing these, I've avoided any of that, right? But the comment I've gotten from probably four or five times, and quite frankly, it's a minuscule percentage, but is there was a stretch there. I had a few hits where the biggest hits videos happened to have a goofy husband next to a wife who seemed kind of like long suffering while he's making these corny jokes. Mm-hmm. And I just portrayed that one is, her name's Phyllis. And she sits there with this total vacant look on her face. She looks like she's almost on pills. I mean, she's just like, I can't believe my husband's still making this joke, but she just looks out to lunch. Like she's decided to check out. And then I had another video hit right after that with another lady who was kind of quiet and kind of wide eyed. And now my first few videos had strong female characters, like that were dominating the scene, that were like clearly strong female characters, but these were the big hits. Mm-hmm. And so I made some sequels to them. So I had like this string of hits that all had these very like vacant kind of lady characters. And so I started getting these comments from women that were like, "Look, I love your videos, but could you please play some strong female characters? Well, like, do they have to all be total zeros and this and that?" And I was like, kind of surprised. I was like, "Oh my God." And I got a little defensive at first. I felt my spine kind of bristle, and I felt myself kind of wanting to be like, "Hey, go look at this one and this one and this one." And I did like a soft serve version of that. I was like, "Oh, I try to mix it up, blah, blah, blah." But I have since created some where I feel like if you look at my whole catalog over the last few months, I don't think you would really give me that criticism if you're being fair. But I was just following the likes, you know, like the hits were those characters. And so I'm like, I'm doing the characters that you've all responded to.
Well, you're looking for fairness from the internet. That's not something that's going to happen, right? Yeah. I mean, no matter what, that sliver that they see, that's Drew Talbert to them, right? And that's the reaction that you're going to get, fair or unfair.
Yeah.
Of the things that you've done, things that you're planning on doing, what are you most excited about? Like, what would you point people to?
I'm just excited that I've found something that people are connecting with that I love doing. I get, like, basically the pattern is this. We put the baby down, my 1.5-year-old down at like 7:30. And then I go to my room, I set up the lights, I have been percolating an idea for the last day or two or whatever, and I'm writing it while I'm walking him through the neighborhood, and then I kind of scribble it down, and then I get into the wigs, and I play these characters, and I actually love the editing part, you know, because I've taught myself editing. I love piecing it together. Just the whole process gives me a lot of joy, and then to hear people say, "I just worked a double. I had a really bad day at my restaurant. I came back, watched this, and you've totally cheered me up. Thank you." And like, just that is just giving me a lot of pleasure right now. I don't know if that's exactly answering the question.
No,
there's certain video. Yeah. There's certain videos I do enjoy, but even some of the ones that aren't the biggest hits, I still just have like my little favorite little babies, you know?
I could certainly relate to that. I mean, that's, I'm doing this show. I mean, that's kind of the same type of deal, right? Where if it becomes, it's a lot of fun to be able to talk to someone different every week. And if it becomes tedious, if it becomes not that much fun, or, you know, nobody's listening to it, I'll have a conversation with myself, right? But that's, it's awesome that you kind of found something that you can sort of latch onto and get a lot of joy in that experience. When would that line be where you said, you know what? I'm shutting down the TikTok account. This, I'm not doing this anymore.
The line of like people being offended
or whatever it is, where you're like, you know what, this isn't fun anymore. Like what would it take for that to be the case?
Oh, well, it would take me like not being able to spend time with my family. You know, that's like, I'm a family guy. I just, my wife is just a part of me, you know, like my wife, Andrea Kelly. She and I are pretty intertwined, and then the baby, and like that's my number one in life. And so if something took me away from being able to do that, spend time with them, I would definitely scale it back. But other than that, I can't imagine. I guess I could see myself getting really burnt out, but I feel like I would just take a break, you know. But I want to go beyond this. I want to, like, once things open up a little bit more, I do want to bring in other actors. I do want to explore longer forms. I do want to, like, I've created basically a fake restaurant called Bistro Huddy on TikTok, named after my son Hudson. Mm-hmm. And so as I've just been making these, they all take place in Bistro Huddy. So now I've got like the whole wait staff kind of crafted. I've got two managers, I've got regulars. So it's like, on accident, I've created a show, you know?
Yeah,
so
an
like,
entire show, yeah.
It'd be fun to explore casting that and, like, you know.
Dude, it is awesome, man. Congrats on all your success. It's at Drew Talbert on Instagram, Drew_Talbert on the TikTok. Go enjoy, because who knows how long we'll have it, buddy. Really appreciate your time, man. It was a lot of fun to chat with you.
Yeah, Danny, great talking to you, too. And thanks, Mike.
Thank you to Drew Talbert for a great conversation. I wish he would relax a little bit. He's so wound. He's so uptight. Of course, he's not at all. Just such a generous, kind dude. But I love the conversation. I'm fascinated by stuff like this about the craft. I'm always jealous of people that can do things that I can't. And there's a lot of people I'm jealous of because there's a lot that I can't do. Anything from cooking to even different kinds of comedians who can tell jokes in ways that I can't do, improvisers, etc. And you could just tell the level of understanding that he has, both for what makes him him, what he enjoys. He's found something that he is just so happy about. He's really thriving and driving and doing all those things that that make him go. But it's also the craft, right? I mean, just delving so deep into, you know, stuff that he's mined over the years with improv training. I mean, I think it's an invaluable thing for people to do. I really do. Improv training for folks in any walk of life. Right? Whether you're a lobbyist, an attorney, you got to speak in public, you don't, you need more confidence, whatever it is, taking an improv class, even if you're just a weekend warrior that doesn't necessarily want to make a career in comedy or entertaining folks, it is a great way to learn how to come out of your shell and to really find out about yourself. I mean, to me, it's as good as therapy, but it's way more fun than crying on the couch. So I was a big fan of Drew's answers. And by the way, check out Drew on Instagram, simple at Drew Talbert. He's got all his videos posted there. So funny, really good. They're all quick and fast and clever. And on TikTok, if you got the app, at Drew_Talbert for those. But I also wanted to get his perspective on, I'm fascinated with this. We talk about this with among my stand-up comedy buddies all the time, and even on the radio for my normal gig, about what happens when you're now online, right? In this world, it's gotten people, frankly, like Drew, the ability to get in front of more audiences. 20 years ago, Drew would still be grinding it out at Groundlings, hoping the casting director or somebody saw something that they liked, and maybe they put him in something, maybe they get him the audition, whatever, right? Well, now he has an audience of about 300,000 people. That's a huge deal for a comedian, for an entertainer, for somebody that wants their stuff out there. Now doors open. Now it's your foot in the door. Now, I mean, the Justin Bieber kind of story, right? The lead singer of Journey, that kind of story. His content is out there, so the band discovers him, he flies around the world, right? Justin Bieber discovered by Ludacris's manager, whatever, however the story goes. That's that kind of experience that wasn't possible before now with the internet. That's the good. The bad part is it gives everybody, you know, equal footing. The comment section is treated equally and people can just say outrageous stuff to you, take offense. You know, the offended tourists love to swing by and tell you that what you're doing is wrong, not taking your body of work into account, right? How nice is a guy is Drew Talbert? So somebody could watch one video where, as he mentioned, he referenced that, you know, one female character may not be strong and maybe she's passive, and they can decide that Drew Talbert, that's a sexist, that Drew Talbert, he's a misogynist, and they can say whatever they want, and that sticks. That's part of a Google search now. It's a fascinating world. So there's good and bad to it. So I loved his attitudes and ability to kind of navigate those really tough waters. And I thought he had a good answer as well about censoring yourself and sort of that tug of war as a teacher of improv, and then going into, you know, again, just things that you don't want said. I mean, it really is. It's hard. That's a very challenging thing because, again, if you've taken any improv, you know that you're supposed to just go top of your head, first instinct, and you get kind of a mind meld with everyone else that's on stage with you, be it one person, be it 10, whatever. It's, you got to be part of the group thing. So if you're censoring yourself, and you know, are hesitating or stuttering because you don't want to say the thing, that can be really detrimental, right? And that blocks off your ability to create a great scene. Well, what if you're saying something that now is out of bounds? It used to be comedy was kind of a sanctum for that. Now maybe it's not. Rules are changing, and Drew is certainly evolving with it, as evidenced by the fact, again, a platform that didn't exist 4 years ago, didn't exist 3 years ago in this country. Heck, it didn't exist 2 years and 1 month ago in this country. 25 months it didn't. He's now got 300,000 followers watching what he does on TikTok. And it's really, really funny. Drew is really cool, and I appreciate him spending some time with us. Appreciate you guys spending time with me as well. Thank you so much for tuning into the show at @interest_pod. Again, I will let you guys know there and also via @funnydanny when we will, if and when we get ourselves to Amazon. But until then, keep checking out the show, patreon.com/funnydanny, and all the other places that you can normally get the program. We appreciate you guys no matter where you are. Like, subscribe, review, and recommend us to a friend. And please let us know other folks that you would like to hear. We've got a whole bunch of cool interviews coming up, including a guy who was in the room when SEAL Team 6 went and got Osama bin Laden, not over there in Abbottabad, but he was in the White House Situation Room watching alongside the President, the Joint Chiefs, and a bunch of other people. We've got a whole mess of folks coming up that should be really interesting, including a comedian that also makes online videos that's drawing a lot of attention to himself. He'll be joining us. I've got the CEO of a brand new drink that is outstanding, and he's a fun guy from my hometown here in Washington, D.C. But a bunch of fun stuff coming up. So appreciate you guys checking out the show. And until next time, you seem interesting.